time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Tonight, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by realtor quizmaster Daryl Garrison and Professor Lori Fisher. Gotta be your host and moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are encouraging your participation in every way possible. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in, and I mean you. So give us a call, okay? The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we actually do have a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. As I said, our lines are open. Please give us a call. If you call in early, we'll get you on early. So that's the way it works. Hopefully you'll have a question for us. If you don't, it's okay. If you just want to answer one of ours, that's fine too. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all we require from you is some attention and a call. So do your best. And we're going to... I want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. And that is the numeral one. So it is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So feel free to email. We don't read them during the show generally, but they all get read. So feel free if you have a comment or a question or a suggestion for the show, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And if you'd like to hear this show in live streaming form, you can certainly do that simply by going to kalw.org, and it will be available there. And if you'd like to hear the show podcast, it will be up later, and that will be also at kalw.org, and it will also be on iTunes and a bunch of other places. And you can look around for it, but it's always around. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. First of all, I want to say thank you to Kira. Kira Pace last week for an Eric Barella and Jeremy Horwitz. For Kira came in at the last minute.
She did.
Well, not the last, the last 2 hours.
That's about as close to the last minute as you get.
Okay, yeah. And she took over.
Did a great job.
She had greatness thrust upon her.
Yeah.
Sitting in the moderator's chair, and I'm sure she was probably a little scared, but she did a great job.
She did.
So
found the person, another third person, took over as
right.
Sat in your chair for the first time. And let's say it's not an easy chair. Well, it is an easy chair to fill. But
I think there's some stains on it. And but anyway, she did a nice job. So thank you, Kira, for that. And she'll be back next week. It's sometimes that's the way things work. It's last minute. You've got to just do your best. But thank you. All right. So we are going to start with a round of introductions, and here's the first. Lori Fisher is suited up and so ready for opening day. He's tired of riding the pine, catching cans of corn, cough up chalk, dust, and counting ducks on the pond, only one of which is a made-up baseball metaphor. Minds over matter, listeners, play ball.
Indeed. So people can call in if they know which one I made up. Daryl Garrison.
I've ridden the pine, too. You know what I
mean. And it's not a baseball metaphor in your case, I believe. Daryl Garrison, trapped in a world he never made. That's a good tagline.
Yeah.
If it was a witch hunt, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wonders when the burning at the stake begins.
Yeah, Dana? I'm counting the days.
Yeah. Trial by drowning, maybe.
All right. We are going to start with Lori Fisher.
All right. Well, I saw somebody, an education professor who studied the state education history standards. This is be in the public schools. And what he did was made a list of the and there's no national standard, so he looked at each state standards. Which women are the most required to be taught in our schools? So which women in American history are the most taught in American schools? I'll give you the first.
In other words, that you have to. They talk about them, and you have to know who they are.
Yeah. This would be identification or their significance, you know, starting probably in the sixth grade. It's usually sixth or seventh grade where there's standards. And the first three are pretty obvious. Rosa Parks, Susan B. Anthony, and Harriet Tubman. So I'm looking for the next six. And as a bonus, there's two on the list who are fictional. Which two fictional women are taught as historical characters? So after Rosa Parks, Susan B. Anthony, and Harriet Tubman, who are the next six? I'll give you two each if you get them. American historical figures who are women, who are taught.
Can I take a guess, or we want to wait?
No.
Go ahead.
Eleanor Roosevelt?
She's on the list, but not on my list. No, no bell on that one. She's 11th.
Oh.
Good guess.
Betsy Ross?
Not in the top 15.
That may be kind of old fashioned, actually. So, these women are best known for accomplishing something on their own rather than being married to somebody who happened to be important in American history.
Yes, all of them.
Okay.
Like I think Eleanor Roosevelt would be the closest to not being that, but she'd be on her own. I
mean, right.
She, yeah, but all of them, as I look at them and understand them, are on their own.
How about Sally Ride?
No. Great guess.
Carrie Nation.
Also not on the list.
But
in the spirit of the list.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
No. Another good guess.
Hmm. All right. Let me think about that. So
and at the bonus out there, two of the top 10, but they also list fictional characters are taught, like, say, Uncle Sam would be one. There's
fictional
two women.
Characters.
Which two fictional women?
Statue of Liberty?
No. Another good guess.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. She's fictional?
Fictional women. As in, they first appeared in a book or novel?
Oh.
I'm not going to say.
Rosie the Riveter.
That's right.
Oh.
Very
okay.
Good.
That's not so much. It's more generic than fictional.
Fair enough. I think that's fair, but
because there were a lot of Rosie the Riveters in
yeah,
there. That was sort of the
yeah,
nickname.
But that character they
but
made.
I
won't cut hairs like you might. Or parse hairs or whatever you do.
Whatever
with hairs. Anyway, so we'll leave the rest out or keep guessing. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's good.
Okay.
That's good. All right. Why don't you read the question?
So, of the in the United States of the state educational standards in history, somebody found out who are the most who are the women who are taught the most. Top three: Rosa Parks, Susan B. Anthony, and Harriet Tubman. I'm looking for the next six, just because I have a cutoff point there.
And this is not specific to a grade level. In
correct.
Other words, this goes all the way through high school.
Typically, this would be 7th through 12th grade.
Okay.
And frequently, you meet somebody in 7th grade and then meet them again in 10th or 12th. So it didn't distinguish by who do you meet in high school and who do you meet in, you know, 11th
okay.
grade or 7th grade.
And Daryl, you go ahead.
Well, Dana asked me to bring 20 college football questions, so here we go.
You must be talking about some other day.
It's just like him.
All right, so let's talk about EGOT winners. That's the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. There's only 15 EGOT winners, and I'll give you hints as needed. Who was the first person to win an EGOT? This is here's your first hint, a composer.
That's it.
And then the pair that goes with that, the second half of that is, who is the first woman to win an EGOT?
Did a woman win before a man or not?
No. The man won first, and the woman, she finally got her EGOT in 1977.
So you want us to get all 15?
No, just those two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Marvin Hamlisch was one.
No, he's not the first. And this composer was born in 1902, died in 1979.
Irving Berlin?
No.
You might explain to people what an EGOT is.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony winner.
All right.
Yeah, pretty hard to do. Only 15 of them. And I will tell you that he won his Emmy for something called Winston Churchill, The Valiant Years. You're too good, Dean. If I gave you the Oscar, you'd get it.
Is it Richard Rodgers?
Yes, it is Richard Rodgers.
Oh, very good.
There. Yeah. Give me a bell on that one. All right. Is the first, I have two guesses on the woman. You give me two?
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Streisand?
No.
Is she an EGOT?
I don't think she's an EGOT winner.
Oh, I think thought she was.
She's honorary, I think.
Okay, and then the other one, I guess, would be Liza Minnelli.
No.
Is she at least an EGOT?
I don't think she
is. She got the EGOT?
I don't think so.
Well, she won Tony, Oscar,
I'm going off my brain
Grammy.
On that one. I
thought her special won an Emmy, the Liza with the
So you don't have the list of all of them. You just have the two that you're asking about.
All right.
Okay. So why don't you repeat the question, Dave?
Sure. The first woman to win an EGOT, she won her Grammy, which was her last of the four awards in 1977, for Best Spoken Word Recording. It was Great American Documents, but she won her Oscar much, much earlier. She holds the record for the longest space between the first part of an EGOT and the final award.
Did she win the Oscar first?
Yes.
And was it in the 50s?
No.
I don't think I'm going to take one more guess, and then you should have some. How about Rita Moreno?
She was next.
Ah.
After this woman. Rita Moreno
won in
77 or 78, but this woman was just before.
And Rita Moreno won for West Side Story right in there in the 60s.
Is this woman still alive?
No. No, she's not.
All right.
She won her Grammy in 77, but her Oscar many, many, many years earlier.
In the early 60s, right?
No.
Way
back.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, she holds the record for the...
But she was a performer.
Oh, yeah. Well, very well known. She holds the record for the longest spread between winning all four.
All right.
It was 37 years it took her to win all four.
Helen Hayes?
Yes, it was Helen Hayes.
That was my next guess. Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
Well, I was waiting. I was deferring to you.
All
I could see it in you. I could see your
twinkle. So do we have both of those?
Yeah, you got
them right. All right. Do you want to ask
Richard Rodgers and Helen Hayes? They were married.
I know that you like presidential trivia. So we know that Teddy Roosevelt and JFK are the youngest U.S. presidents. But who are the next two, both age 46?
On Election Day, right? That's what
on the day they took office.
Yeah. This is you.
Handsome Frank Pierce? Franklin Pierce?
No.
That was his nickname, Handsome Frank.
Really?
And, yeah, James K. Polk?
No.
Then...
I will tell you that one is 1800s, one is 1900s. Both age 46.
Clinton.
Clinton's one.
Oh, that's good.
And...
yourself a bell.
The one in the 19th century, Grover Cleveland?
He was 47.
old man Cleveland, as he was known.
I don't know. Right. So one is in the 19th century. And so it's not, that's interesting.
How old was John Quincy Adams? Would he be one?
Oh, no, he was
old.
He was older.
Yeah. But he was the son.
Millard Fillmore?
No. You love Millard Fillmore questions.
He does.
I don't get enough of them. Okay, I'll leave that out.
Right.
And why don't you read the question once more?
You know that Teddy Roosevelt and JFK are the youngest U.S. presidents, but who are the next two, both age 46? And you got Clinton.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed, are you?
Hey, Ed.
I want you to name two famous scientists that they married their first cousins. I mean, each one of them married, their first cousin. You know them?
Were the Curie's cousins?
No.
Ah.
And actually, Curie married some guy named Becquerel. No. Okay, they're very, 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 very famous. One in physics, one in evolution. So that's good hint.
Is Linus Pauling one?
No.
Older
than that, much older.
Well, you said evolution, so is that Darwin?
Yeah, that was Charles Darwin. You're right.
Who did
you
marry?
How about in physics?
Physics.
He actually was married before, but he left his wife to marry his first cousin, who carried the about her far more.
Is this American scientist?
Oh, Einstein.
Einstein it is.
Yes.
Wow. Einstein
yes.
it is.
Well, it's all relative.
He really had a miserable
yeah.
personal oh. life, by the way. He did. Okay, how about a yes. president?
Okay.
In fact, you know, when this president, American president, when he married his wife, she did not have to change her name. She did not have to change her last name.
Yeah, that's Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
That's Roosevelt. Which one?
Franklin and Eleanor.
Yeah. yeah.
Franklin and Eleanor. Very good. Okay. Another president, which married his 20, he was older, much older, but he married his 21-year-old adopted daughter. She was his daughter, in fact.
That's Grover Cleveland.
That is you're very much
that
right.
wasn't
Francis
yeah,
Folsom.
Yeah.
Wasn't President Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, one last question.
It wasn't
Very
his
question.
Daughter, though. It was his ward.
His adopted daughter.
Right.
Okay, what about...
like Robin?
What kind of science, what kind of in physics did Einstein get his Nobel Prize on, won his Nobel Prize? On what field in physics?
Not the general theory of relativity?
No.
Oh.
Not general, not special. What do you think?
How about astrophysics?
No, very surprising. His theory is the basis for all of the solar energy we use today. That's a hint. What do you think it was?
Solar.
All of our solar...
solar physics.
Huh? No. Photoelectric effect. Photoelectric effect is what he got his Nobel Prize on. When light, you know, from any source, sun or anywhere else, hit the surface of a metal or substance, then electrons get emitted, and that is the whole concept of solar energy. Thank you, guys. Always a great show.
Thanks,
Thank
Eve.
You. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Oops, there we go. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, teacher from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher, Daryl Garrison, realtor from Contra Costa County, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM, that is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, let me do a couple questions here. I don't know if I should recuse you from this or not, Daryl. I don't know. I'll give you one guess. Let's
Only if he knows the answer.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. What was the first TV show from another country to be in the top 20 TV shows during a season?
Why would you want me to recuse myself? What is it, Monty Python or something?
No. So what was the first TV show that was made in another country... It was a foreign TV show that was imported to the U.S. To be actually in the top 20 shows for a season.
Could it be something as quasi-generic as Masterpiece Theater one year? Or is it more something not an anthology show, but...
No, it was on one of the... no, it was not. No, it wasn't Masterpiece Theater. I understand.
Yeah.
I see your point.
Okay, but that was not the answer.
That was not the answer.
You want to give us a time period?
Before 1970.
Oh,
my first guess would be that was the year that was. Wasn't that a British show?
Yes, but no.
Oh.
Yes, but no. So what was the first... It's a very well-known show, and I remember it fondly. What was the first TV show from another country to be a top-rated television show in the U.S.?
Daryl, you have a guess? Cause...
Well, I'm trying to think why he wanted me to recuse myself. Like Doctor Who?
No.
Our studio audience is... wildly raising her hand and suggesting it's the Avengers.
It is not the Avengers.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's enough from our audience. Wow.
So, once more, what was the first TV show that was made in another country and imported to the U.S. and ended up in the top 20 TV
shows? Is it a
shows?
Scripted show?
It was a weekly show.
Yeah, a scripted show?
Oh, yeah. Dramatic show.
Dramatic show.
Dramatic show. Not a comedy. Dramatic show.
Yeah. And you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. I think we all have. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Whew.
Okay.
That's good.
Moving along. Now, on the list of the most popular websites, the 50 most popular websites worldwide, Google is number one, unsurprisingly.
Google.
Yes. You want me to spell it for you?
I got to look
big,
that up.
It's a big All number.
Right. So, in other words, the websites that have the most traffic, Google is number one. So, but there are lots of Googles around the world. For instance, there is a Google Belgium. So what I'm looking for is what are the top five Googles in the world and match them up with the correct country that is the one of the 50 most popular. Okay. So as in Google Belgium.
So instance. You want us to guess the countries in which Google is used the most?
Not exactly. Okay. So, again, of the 50 most trafficked websites in the world, Google is number one. But Google is established in many different places.
Right.
So what are the five places in the world, five countries in the world where Google is among the top 50 websites?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know how many... They put so many restrictions on Google in China.
They do.
And China has their own Google.
There isn't even Google in China except in one city.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess what the city is? Because it's actually one of the answers.
I would think Shanghai.
No.
Beijing.
No.
Guangzhou.
No. What would be the logical city to have Google with?
Hong Kong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So...
And so we're looking for
Google Hong Kong is actually number one.
We're looking for four other countries in which
yes,
Google's
the,
in the
all
top
your,
50.
All the rest are countries rather than cities, okay. Just so you know.
So I'm going to say England.
No.
No.
No. And let's see. So once more, what was the first television show that was imported from another country to be in the top 20 TV shows in the U.S. for a season?
Thunderbirds.
No. No. Secret Squirrel. No.
Oh. The Prisoner.
No.
Ah.
That's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that guess.
That's a very niche show. And?
Very popular. Especially with me.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ask one more question. Because I just want to get this out where people can answer it if they like. So I came across a website the other day, excuse me, that had the most popular tourist attraction in every country of the world. So I'm going to ask this in a reverse way, that I'm going to give you the five or six tourist attractions. I want you to match them up with the correct country. Okay?
This is a Kira question. She's good at
maybe.
This.
Maybe. Yeah. So, but there are plenty of countries left. I'm only asking six. So I can bring some more in when she's here. So name the country where this is the most popular tourist attraction. So I'll give you six tourist attractions. You tell me what the country is. I'll give everybody one guess. Number one, the Vasa Museum, V-A-S-A, the Vasa Museum. Number two, the American Cemetery Memorial. Number three, Pele's Castle. And I will spell that for you. It's P-E-L-E-S. Number four, Vaduz Castle. That's V-A-D-U-Z. Number five is the Main Market Square. And Main is not a name. It's just specifying it's the Main Market Square. And number six is just the Parliament Building. So again, these are the most popular tourist attractions in what countries? Number one, the Vasa Museum. Number two, the American Cemetery Memorial. Number three, Pele's Castle. Number four, Vaduz Castle. Number five, Main Market Square. And number six, Parliament Building. And to make it a little easier for you, they're all in Europe. Okay? So I'll give you each one guess.
Daryl, you want? Because I don't know any of them. I have a bad guess at what.
I know that there's an American cemetery memorial of some kind in France, but that's too many.
Well, there are lots of them, actually. But,
yeah.
But this in this particular country, this is the most popular tourist attraction. No?
Well, just it's for a moment, I thought you meant city, but it's country.
No, they're all countries. Yeah.
Okay, so that eliminated the one that I didn't know.
Can't
I really
Hong
don't
Kong
know now. This is such a good question for our audience.
All right, that's what you say when you don't know the answer.
Yeah, Portugal.
Nope.
For all of them.
And remember, they're all in Europe. Okay, so all the countries in Europe. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
This is AJ from San Francisco.
Hi, AJ.
Hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so I have an answer for the first question about the women who are most taught.
Sure.
Actually, four.
Okay.
Perspective in. Florence Nightingale?
No.
Oh, well, no.
Again, I'm looking for, no. These are all in the top nine. She's on the list, but go ahead.
Okay. Susan B. Anthony?
Susan B. Anthony is number two on the list. That was one of the ones I gave, though, but very good.
Oh, you did give that
yeah,
one. Okay.
That's okay.
Pocahontas?
Pocahontas is not on the list.
Susquehanna.
Sacagawea? Is that who you meant? Sacagawea?
Sacagawea, right.
Yeah. Give him a half a bell. She's on the list, but she's not in the top nine.
Susquehanna is a great Abbott and Costello routine, but yeah, not
good guess.
Oh, great.
You got another?
Okay. The other question was, heavens. Number two, the American Memorial?
Yes.
Did you get an answer for that?
No, not yet.
France?
Well, there are plenty of American cemeteries in France, but it's not France.
Oh, okay. That's all I got. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, AJ. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello. This is Jim. I have an answer for the TV series. I'm going to take a guess at Johnny Sacco and his flying robot, because even if it's not there...
That's such a good answer.
It's a good answer, but no, not that.
Okay, thanks.
Was that a real show?
No.
I
don't know.
I should hope so.
But I like the sound of it. And let's see. Oh, the two numbers to join us here are area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And Lori, you go ahead.
All right. This is a question about Monopoly sets.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, good. Since one of you, should I recuse you just based on your yay?
No, I just like Monopoly.
So Sue and I were in a store, and I was surprised there was a Beatles edition of Monopoly, and I didn't know we had gotten into celebrities, and I started to look up.
Was this stuff. A store you went into in 1966?
The store we went into about a month ago.
All right.
But I was more interested in, and there are quite a few that are dedicated to rock and roll groups and singers. I was interested in which ones are Monopoly-themed editions, officially sanctioned, that are based on TV shows. There's only seven of them.
Hmm.
Okay, and so these are, apparently you can do Renegade ones, but these are the ones that
so is this in the history of Monopoly?
Yes.
So a lot of these would not exist anymore. Like
a lot of the shows?
No, well, just you could not get them unless it was some collector or something.
I would assume they're valuable collector's items in some cases, and others they probably are manufacturing them as we speak. I don't know about the market for them.
Did you know that the Trump edition of Monopoly, it only has the go to jail square all around the board?
There we go.
Waiting to work that
there
out.
There we go.
And yeah. Let's see.
And there is no Celebrity Apprentice Monopoly, as far as I know. So, and let me make sure here. These are all scripted shows, so it's not like Omnibus Monopoly or NBC Nightly News or.
How about Star Trek?
Star Trek. There's enough Star Treks. I'll give you one, but it's a specific one.
The Next Generation.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Very good. That's what we're looking for. Five more. No, six
so
more.
How far back do they go? That's out of curiosity.
All the way back. in other words, they span, I would
but
say they kind of
span. You're looking for the TV shows.
I'm looking for the TV shows. And the TV shows are from the whole era of TV. Recent, not so recent, long ago. No radio ones that I could see.
Star Trek Monopoly.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think how these things would be set up. Like, you know, if I said wagon train or something.
That's
a
good guess. It's not.
But
there.
would that make sense?
Yeah, it would make sense. I would say.
Or Gunsmoke Monopoly.
I would say all of these, to me, would have a bigger built-in audience, like a following, not just that they're popular, like I can't see a Ward Bond little character and all that, but maybe. But those are reasonable guesses. They're not crazy. I'll give you a little hint. Two of them are current, as in still on the air, and I think still being produced.
I haven't been to a Toy Story in a long time.
These would be more in game stores and collector's edition stores, or you know, like Games of Berkeley would have these kind of things. And they're I checked the ones, the kind of real popular ones are available on Amazon. Good gifts.
How about the Beverly Hillbillies?
That's a really good guess. That's the kind that might be. Yeah, they're not. But no.
My Mother the Car.
My mother, the thimble.
Yeah. That was a real show.
No, it was. Jerry Van Dyke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ann Southern, was she?
Yeah, Ann Southern was the voice.
It's classic.
So, none of those. All
so,
right.
Once again, we're looking for the 7 TV shows that have authorized American editions. Oh, and I want to have one proviso so people might call in. There's a bunch of them that are cartoons. So, Scooby-Doo, Simpsons, I'm not counting those. So, all of these have human actors.
Oh.
And the ones that I'm looking for, otherwise the list got, there's way more cartoon ones than there are human actor ones.
Do these shows... Let's see. How can I ask this? Do they have some sort of generic interest in money that would lend itself to a Monopoly game?
Like
The Millionaire or something like that?
I don't see that in any of them. So that's definitely not a theme of the thing. So none of them are like The Millionaire.
I'm just trying to think how they would make a Monopoly game out of some of certain TV shows.
I think you go for ones that are wildly popular and maybe a tiny bit cultish.
What about The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Not there. Mm-hmm. Good guess. And once again, two of them are on TV tonight. I don't mean tonight, but two of them are currently in rotation, I think.
The Walking Dead.
That's one of them.
Is it really?
The Walking Dead.
I swear to God. That was my favorite.
The Walking Dead Monopoly.
Yes. Imagine that hotel.
Well, yeah. And you could see that it would be
you
fun.
Check in, whatever, but you don't check out.
Yeah. Well, you could see how much fun it would be to play, what variations they might do. So that was a brilliant guess.
Walking Dead Monopoly.
Everyone, run out and get one. It's a great gift for the holidays.
All right.
Whatever holiday.
I remember that.
Purim, I think, is the next holiday. Anyway, so we're looking for 5 more.
Okay. And
nicely done.
Let's go. It's a total guess. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi,
you're on.
Yes, this is Mike in Walnut Creek here.
Hi, Gina. Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Let's see. In terms of the 6 European tourist attractions,
right.
I want to take a stab at 3 of those, if I may.
Yes.
The Vasa Museum, is that in Norway?
It is not.
Okay. Vaduz Castle, I'm presuming, is Liechtenstein.
It is Liechtenstein. Very good.
And the Parliament building, possibly Hungary?
That is Hungary.
Well done.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. That's all I have, unless you want me to throw a question your way.
Go ahead.
Okay, of the subway metro systems in the world, which one has the greatest length of tracks in its system, basically?
It's got to be London.
No.
You mean if you put all the tracks end-to-end, that kind of thing?
Exactly, yes. All all the tracks that go between all the different stations, yes.
How about Tokyo?
Yeah.
No, not Tokyo either.
In the world.
Those are two really good guesses.
Paris?
No, it's...
New York?
I could give you... It's not in Europe.
Not in Europe, okay.
Is it in North America?
No, okay. No.
So Asia?
Yeah.
Seoul?
No, that's another good guess, actually, but not Seoul, no.
And Beijing?
No, you're getting very close.
Is that Hong Kong again, then?
No, it is not actually Hong Kong. No, that's fairly limited.
Shanghai, yeah.
Relatively.
Shanghai?
Yeah, Shanghai.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. And which one do you think has the highest ridership in millions per year? Which world city?
I still think Tokyo again. They're
crowded
in.
I have that down at number 5, Tokyo.
I'll try London again.
No. Outside the top 10, in fact.
It won't be Reykjavik.
So
it's very popular, though.
Is it an Asian country?
It is, yes.
That makes sense, I guess. Is that Seoul?
No. No, that's at number 3.
Hmm. And then Pyongyang.
No.
They have a subway. What is it?
It is Beijing, in fact. So Shanghai has the greatest length. And Beijing has the highest ridership,
Well, thank you, Mike.
King figures. Oh, yes, you're quite welcome. All right, take care, guys. Thank you, then.
And Daryl, it's your turn.
Well, how about an English question? These might be too easy.
In the English language? I'm ready.
Yes, okay. novels, first lines of novels. You like these? Yeah? All right, how about this one? The cold passed reluctantly from the earth, and the retiring fogs revealed an army stretched out on the hills, resting. The cold passed reluctantly from the earth, and the retiring fogs revealed an army stretched out on the hills, resting.
Are these novels written in English or not necessarily?
Written in English, yes. And I'll give you a hint if you need it.
All right, give us a hint.
Okay, 19th century. I'll narrow it down.
So the first one that came to mind was Red Badge of Courage.
It is Red Badge of Courage.
Yeah.
All right, and how about this one? In the town, there were two mutes, and they were always together.
Oh, that's The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
That's correct. Nice. Very good.
You want to get one more?
Sure.
That's fine.
All right. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since.
Well, that would be The Great Gatsby.
Yes, yeah. It is The Great Gatsby.
Well-known line.
Yeah. Too easy.
Yeah. Well, fun. good reading.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For women taught in schools, how about Emily Dickinson?
You know, she's taught in English classes, but she's not generally in the history standards, which is what I'm looking for, so no.
All right. Let's see. The Vasa Museum, I believe, is in Sweden.
It is in Sweden, Stockholm, actually. Very good.
And the Pelish Castle is in Romania.
It is in Romania.
Very good.
Going to guess the American Cemetery is the one in Luxembourg.
It is the one in Luxembourg.
Very good.
Very good.
And I have a question.
Yes.
I am thinking of a region of a country somewhere in the world that has...
Is this a mind-reading question?
No.
It's okay. The Seven of Hearts.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That has a unique cuisine. Not necessarily unique. It's part of it, the national cuisine, but it's well-known. The name of this region, when translated from the language that is generally called into English, means south of the lake. And a feature of this cuisine is ham, and also a feature that's measured in Scoville units.
In hotness, Scoville.
Yes.
Oh, Scoville.
All right. You have a lot of information here.
What's the question?
So go over the whole thing once more.
The name of this region.
Okay.
The region.
What we're looking for. It has a well-known cuisine that's a subset of the national cuisine.
And we're speaking of another country?
Yes.
Okay.
South of the lake, ham, and measured in Scoville units.
Yeah, south of the lake.
Hot food with ham.
The political leader of this country for about a quarter of the last century was a native of this region.
So, David, whispered in my ear, is this Sichuan?
Close, but not Sichuan.
So we have the right country, though, or David has the right country.
Yes.
China.
A little farther south.
A little further south.
Well, that would be Scoville. That would be like Kung Pao.
That isn't a place.
you don't know. Big country.
No insult to our listeners
at Kung Pao. So you're
looking for the
name of a province then, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not very good at that. Provinces of China.
You'll see restaurants all over the city with this cuisine.
Oh, I see. So, not Sichuan, it's, what are we missing here as far as a, all right, leave it out. Somebody will get it.
A lot of calls.
As an extra hint, there's a well-known chain of restaurants in the city called Henry's that features this cuisine.
Oh.
Yeah. In San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, leave it out.
I have a Monopoly guess.
Very good.
How about Game of Thrones?
That's such a good guess, but not
on the
list.
Do you want us to put you on hold when you give the answer?
Yes, thank you. I will.
All right, there we go. Go ahead.
I'm guessing either Monopoly or the Games of Thrones people don't want it. I don't know why.
All right, we're past halfway through the show, so let's repeat anything that hasn't been answered yet.
In the American History Standards for American Public Schools, I am looking for the top six people after Rosa Parks, Susan B. Anthony, and Harriet Tubman, who are the top three. We don't have any. And I'm looking for the top two fictional people, but Daryl got Rosie the Riveter. I'm also looking for seven TV shows that have authorized Monopoly editions, and Daryl got Star Trek The Next Generation, and Dana, of course, nailed The Walking Dead.
So to speak.
You brought it back to life.
Okay. Interesting.
Daryl. And I still have out there the youngest U.S. president of the 1800s. Oh. He was 46 when he took office.
Haven't you guessed them all?
Oh, Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No. You're right. No. He's right.
He's too old?
He's right.
How old was the person?
46.
How old was Andrew Jackson?
He was older than 46.
Okay. Who haven't you named?
Well, I'll tell you, the next two, age 47, Obama and Grover Cleveland, they were both 47. So there's one guy in there.
One guy in between.
And it wasn't Polk and it wasn't Pierce.
No. Nope.
How old was Johnson, who took over for Lincoln?
He was older than 47.
So not Johnson, just to be clear?
No.
Jeez, there aren't many left.
And then, okay. Was that it for you, Daryl?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the first TV show that was actually made in another country and imported to the U.S. That ended up as one of the top 20 shows in the TV season? What was the first TV show from another country to be imported to the U.S. and end up as one of the top 20 shows in the U.S. for the season? And I will tell you the years of the season. That's 55, 56.
Ooh.
Wow.
So
it's
a show that ran forever. And I don't mean in reruns it ran forever, because I have a very vivid memory of it.
Want to tell us any of the stars?
No.
would we know any of them?
Only one of them would probably resonate with you.
The 50s. Yeah. And it lasted for...
But it reran and ran for like 20 years. So it would pop up on you know, it was obviously a syndicated show. But yeah.
Not the early Fawlty Towers, I presume.
No, nothing like that. And it was a dramatic show. Okay, and on the list of the 50 most popular websites worldwide...
Oh, yeah.
What are the five Google locations that have the most traffic? In other words, if I were to say, you know, Google Belgium. But so far we have Google Hong Kong. So of the 50 most popular websites worldwide, what are the five Google locations that have the most traffic? So far all we have is Google Hong Kong. What are the other four?
So I'll just take a couple. How about Germany?
Germany.
Okay.
One. All right.
That's one.
Good.
How about, I think, in Scandinavia? I don't even know why. Sweden?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Canada?
No.
They're all in Europe, right?
I didn't say that.
Oh, I made that up.
No. Okay. They're all in Europe. And
Japan.
Yes, Japan. Very good. Okay.
So we're missing two.
Google Japan. No, there's three left.
Three left.
South Korea.
Or no, there are two left. I'm sorry. I apologize. No, not South Korea. And I asked you to name the country where this is the most popular tourist attraction. They're all guests except one, and this is a European country. And so the main market square that is the most popular tourist attraction in what country? Okay, and I believe it's my turn. So, all right. What were the first two one-word titled comedy shows to be number one for a whole TV season?
MASH.
No.
Is it before or after? Or
too That's soon? Actually not one word. That's an acronym. So can't use
You're an acronym.
So,
Dan.
Yes.
So would the shows we're talking about be before or after MASH? In other words, I'm just trying to...
I don't think I'm going to say it.
Okay. The first two that I would
guess... Let me just ask the question once more. What were the first two one-word title comedy shows to be number one for a whole TV season?
I think Cheers did that, but I don't think...
Cheers is one.
Okay.
Yes.
And is Seinfeld the other?
No, it's before Cheers.
Before Cheers, okay.
Before Cheers. All right. Hmm. All right. And let's go to a call.
Surely.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. Is the main market square, is that in Turkey?
It is not in Turkey.
Okay. Is the next youngest president, is that little tip of canoe, William Henry Harrison?
Sorry, no.
Yeah.
And we already said it's not Tyler, right?
It is not Tyler.
Right.
I think it's like two left.
Narrowing it down. Okay. TV from another country. I was going to say upstairs, downstairs, but when did you say it was? In the 50s?
Mid-50s. Well, it started in the mid-50s, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, too early. It's not that great drama, Benny Hill. Of some of the women. How about Grace Hopper?
No.
Good guess. Good guess.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton?
Yes. She's the first one of our list. Very nice. Number four overall. Thank you.
Helen Keller?
No.
Oh, also a good guess.
Yeah. I'll take a wild. Shirley Chisholm?
Shirley Chisholm's not in the top 15.
Molly Pitcher?
Ah, that's the other fictional character.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, excellent. That's how she's listed. Very nice.
She actually was not, I don't believe she was fictional.
Well, you know, it was funny. I thought she was real, and then in the little blurb they had that they said she's been so fictionalized or immortalized, so I'll give you both, that she's both fictional and real, that she's sort
okay,
of
yeah, I think they don't know much about her, but yeah. I think she was a
right. Well, along those lines, how about Clara Barton?
No, another good guess, like with the Florence Nightingales, yeah.
Barbara Fritchie.
No.
Tokyo Rose.
Who'd you say?
Tokyo Rose.
No, Tokyo Rose.
Okay. Cuisine, the spicy cuisine is Hunan, I believe.
Oh, you're probably right. Is that correct? Yes, you are correct, sir.
Okay, some Monopoly guesses. How about Sopranos?
No. Well, that'd be a great
guess. That is a good guess.
That is a great guess.
I like that.
Yeah, but not one of them.
Yeah. Breaking Bad?
No. Another great Monopoly. Let's do Breaking Bad Monopoly.
Your math game,
yeah.
And not I Love Lucy.
That is one. That's the earliest
I Love one. Lucy, really?
I Love Lucy.
Wow.
And it was the very first one.
I guess many, Club Babaloo is one
locations.
Of the corners.
Yeah,
and
it would be. Fred and Ethel and all that. Yep.
And not Streets of San Francisco.
Not the Streets of San Francisco.
Not Hotel.
Not Hotel, which would have been great.
And not House.
Nope.
Oh, I see. That.
That's all very right. Clever.
All right. And let's see. Pre-Cheers Comedy Show. I have no idea on that. The top five Google. How about Australia?
Not Australia.
New Zealand?
No, New Zealand.
India?
Yes. India.
Yay. Okay. And Singapore. I'll
no.
throw that in too. Mm-hmm. No. Okay. And then for a question I've got, what is the largest fast food chain by sales with no locations in California?
White Castle?
No. Larger than White Castle.
I think there is a White Castle.
Is there really?
I thought so, but not. Maybe I just dreamt it in a fever dream.
The largest fast food chain in the U.S. that has no California locations.
Is there a reason they're not? Are they not on the West Coast at all?
No, I don't believe so. I think they're the furthest west. They have some in Arizona. But I don't think there are any in Oregon or Washington.
And this is a typical drive-through fast food, not a sit-down Applebee's kind of place.
No, there is Chick-fil-A here, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, there is Chick-fil-A here.
Cracker There's Barrel?
I'm sorry?
Cracker Barrel.
Nope. No, I think Cracker Barrel would probably not be considered fast food. And there actually are Cracker Barrels in California.
Okay.
Slow food.
Not many, but there are.
What is it? Can you tell us what kind of food it is? Is it hamburgers?
It's burgers.
Generic? Okay.
It's fast. Is it really well known, or are we going to not know it when you say it?
It depends how much you travel, but I think it's fairly well known,
Steak and Shake.
That's not very big chain. It's famous, but it's not that big.
Okay.
Yeah, not yet, anyway. I think we give up. What is it?
It's a Whataburger.
Oh,
Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Yep.
right.
familiar with.
Shows up in movies.
All right.
Oh. I'd stop on the way.
Thank
home.
You very much.
Thanks. Great show, as always.
Oh, thank you.
Adios.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll take as many calls as we can in the last 10 minutes. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Okay. Famous top women. How about Amelia Earhart?
No, not in the top.
That is a
not in the top 20.
Okay, Monopoly TV show, Seinfeld.
Yes, very nice.
Of course.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Say it again?
Beverly Hills
90210.
Didn't make the cut.
No.
President, is it Garfield?
No.
That's a good guess, though.
Other things taught women, Marie Curie and Jane Austen.
For, women taught, Marie Curie and Jane Austen.
Oh, so... these are all in the American standards, and so no.
Yeah,
yeah, neither one's on the list.
I was going to say foreign TV show The Saint, but you say it's from the 1950s, so that's out.
Right.
Okay, we're done.
All right. Thanks, Marky.
We need a good British TV show hint.
It had a former movie star as the star.
Lassie.
Somebody less hairy. A popular movie star in the late 30s, early 40s. And, I mean, the show just ran forever as a rerun syndicated show. Was on for several years as a first-run show.
One of them will know.
And the, yeah. Okay. Yes, one of them will know. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yep.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, this is John from Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
Yeah, and I have a guess on women. Was Rosa Parks mentioned?
She's the number one on the list, and I did mention
her. Oh, okay, so you already mentioned her name.
I did.
Now, do they all literally have to be Americans? Because I was also thinking maybe Isabella of Spain or Elizabeth the First.
Okay.
Good Queen Bess.
I think, I don't know, because I don't know the birthplaces of all these people, so I'm going to say, I'm not sure. I think they're all...
They're not, are they on the, I mean, are they, those but, two on the list?
No.
No, okay. Now, I have a question on presidents. I do have one other answer, possibly. Market Square, is that by any chance San Marino?
It is not San Marino.
Oh, okay. I have a president's question.
Yes.
On Friday, 22nd of this month, Jimmy Carter passed a milestone.
He's now the oldest
surviving
president.
You know, survived president, survived the longest, right.
The most years.
So I wondered if you can give me the next five.
Hoover.
Reagan.
He's one of them. We'll see if we can put them in order.
You mean who lived the longest after
that?
So after that one, it'll be George H.W. Bush, then Ford, then Reagan.
No.
I think the number one I read, because there was a piece, was Hayes.
No. Not at least the list that I have.
Okay.
Let's see.
But you are correct. George H.W. is...
He set the record.
Is the longest after Carter, and Carter survived him by one more day. I mean, and let's hope he keeps going for several more years, but he needed only to pass him on one more
day.
Did
you say Gerald Ford?
I thought Ford and then Reagan were the next two.
And then, actually, it's Reagan-Ford.
Okay.
If you no, sorry, no, you're right. Ford Reagan. Yes. It is Ford and then Reagan, and then after that, someone you might not think because we're going back in
a
good deal in time.
Oh, yeah, it was Truman. Truman lived to 90, right?
No,
Truman was still in his 80s.
Or Hoover lived to 90.
Hoover, I already said
Hoover is 90, but there's someone that surpasses Hoover by over 200 days. Almost 200 days.
And this goes back to the 19th century.
Yeah, definitely.
And so this isn't their age at death, it's just how many years out of office, right?
Yeah, I know how long they lived to be. Yeah.
Age of death, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so they were a surviving president. You know, we're not saying they survived so many years after their office. Yeah.
Right. Is this before?
This is just sheer age.
Is this before the Civil War?
Yep.
Then, not John Tyler, is it? No.
I'll give you a hint. John.
Adams.
It is John Adams. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, just for extra credit, but Dana will know. How old was George Washington when he died?
He wasn't that old. He was.
No, he wasn't.
68, 69, something like that.
You're very close. 67, at least according to my source.
Okay. Yeah. He died in 1799.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, happy birthday, Jimmy Carter, and many more recurrences of the day.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. So I have some of the women's history answers,
great.
I think.
Great.
How about Sojourner Truth?
That's the next one on the list.
Good.
Very nice. She's number five overall.
And my memory of the Hull House, Jane Addams.
Oh, excellent. Jane Addams is
very good.
On the list. Yes. Keep going.
There's more.
There's three more on my list that I want people to get.
I have to think hard.
Okay.
I think that's all I can sum
up. Those are very
there.
Good. I'm so glad you got them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
I have two left on my list of the women. Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Yes, very good.
Oh, of course.
And there's one more. Who else do you have?
Nellie Bly.
Not Nellie Bly.
Okay.
There's actually two more on my list, sorry.
And let's see, considering he had a previous career as a general, U.S. Grant was actually quite young.
Yes.
Oh. Very good.
U.S. Grant is correct.
Good.
Nice.
How about Google Taiwan?
Not Google Taiwan.
Do you have time for a question, or should I?
Very quick, if you can ask it very quickly.
Okay, probably not. Then we'll take another call.
All right. Do it next week, then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, time to clean up here. What do we got?
All right, so there are three remaining TV shows that have Monopoly editions. Big Bang Theory was one. Golden Girls edition, which makes sense. And the one that's my favorite, because it's still in production, is Stranger Things, the thing that's on Netflix.
Wow.
So that would be fun to play. Of the women who are missing from our list that we did not get, no one got Abigail Adams, and no one got Norma McCorvey. The Roe v. Wade, the woman who's now named in history books. Yeah.
Wow.
And, we could argue about them later.
All right.
Anyway, I think that's it for my list. Darryl.
Okay. Darryl, anything?
I think you guys, these are obviously too easy. Can I throw a quick movie question at you?
Very quick.
Very quick. Harrison Ford's Regarding Henry and Mel Gibson's Forever Young, those two films, were both written by whom?
This is not a quick end of the show question.
No, you know? It's not. Is it a man or a woman?
Man.
Is somebody famous?
Yes.
Okay. Famous screenwriter?
Director and producer, yes.
Huh.
J.J. Abrams.
Really?
Wrote both of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just for you, Dave.
When he was in high school, right?
Yes.
On the list of the most popular 50 websites worldwide, there are five Google locations that have the most traffic. The one nobody got was Google Brazil. The main market square is the reconstructed medieval square in Warsaw, Poland.
Hmm.
What was the first TV show from another country to be in the top 20 TV shows in the U.S. during a season? That's The Adventures of Robin Hood. Do you remember that?
Oh,
Richard Green?
I do.
I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. Adventures of Robin Hood.
I did too.
Yeah. And, what was the first one-word title comedy show to be number one for an entire TV season? That's Bewitched.
Oh.
1964, 65.
Good answer.
Okay. If we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher from... the actual town you live in?
Brentwood.
Brentwood. Okay, I'm sorry. From Brentwood, real estate agent, real estate broker.
Not the O.J. Simpson Brentwood.
Daryl Garrison. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Steve Wilcott and David LaTulipe, who handled the board and phones. And above all, my thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.
If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't big, it's frank. It's gotta be this or that.